Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, brought to you by Campbell's new Chunky Spicy Soup. It's time to get fired up. Raptors continue to slide, losing by a score of 96-88 at Scotiabank Arena against the visiting Brooklyn Nets, who themselves were on a six-game losing streak. That is no longer. The Raptors lose tonight, and quite frankly, this is the secondary story of the Raptors. Yes, it is obviously the Raptors extending their losing streak to 11 games, but I can tell you that all the talk before the game, too, was focused on another story involving the Toronto Raptors. And if you haven't heard the news, Toronto Raptors forward Jontay Porter is under investigation by the NBA following multiple instances of betting irregularities over the past several months. Multiple sources told ESPN on Monday this story was obviously broken by Adrian Wojnarowski. And, yeah, I mean, I know that's a lot of the discussion, and Jontay has been away with from the team, listed with personal reasons, but this seems to be the reason, and we will have to see what comes out of this, because this is, quite frankly, if this is actually what happened, which is, the story is essentially that, you know, they found that there's a high volume of bets on the under, suspiciously high, especially considering a player of Jontay Porter's stature. If this is found true, and if he did intentionally sort of play into these things, which again, at this point, you know, it's hard to comment beyond any further. But in any case, that was the big story around the team. And of course, the game itself, Raptors obviously are in this difficult situation. You know, I mean, this has just been one disaster of a season. It's just featured lots of, you know, it didn't start with that much promise, but it just continues to sort of spiral downward. And you now get this latest chapter. And, of course, the Raptors losing 11 straight. It's difficult. They score a season-low 88 points. That's also difficult. The leading scorer tonight was Gary Trent Jr. with 18, followed by Javon Freeman Liberty with 15. So, you know, like, obviously it was a low-scoring game. It was an ugly game, kind of indicative of the fact that the Raptors didn't have many players who can create their own advantages. It felt like they just ran the same, you know, three sets over and over again, like one long practice. Of course, you would have needed to see the Raptors knock down some threes at a decent rate. The Raptors shot 5 of 27 from three for 18%. The Nets didn't shoot that much better percentage-wise. They were at 9 for 39. But then again, you know, they did eventually get enough corner threes to sort of sustain their offense. It's not like Brooklyn's offense is that much better, but I mean, come on, at least you actually recognize, and you've seen lots of these members of the Nets. They might be kind of a hodgepodge of random players, but at least they've got some sort of like tenure and track record in the league. For the Raptors, you know, it's a lot of young guys, a lot of guys who are trying to make their name. And you know, on that front, I think if you are to look on the positive side for some of those things, like I was really happy to see, for example, Kobe Simmons come in, and he's the, you know, the latest 10-day player. He had been with the Raptors 905, so people who are familiar with the 905 would already kind of know what Simmons is all about. But he got his cup of coffee here with the Raptors for the next 10 days, and I thought he acquitted himself quite well. I thought he competed really hard, you know, got two steals, you know, even small things that aren't in the box score, like how hard he fought in the post. The Raptors obviously conceding a lot of switches and a lot of mismatches against a team like Brooklyn, who, even though they don't have dominant bigs, I mean, you know, you're still asking a point guard and Simmons to fight in the post against, you know, Nick Claxton, for example, or De'Ron Sharpe. So these guys are all obviously much, much bigger. Thought he gave good effort there. And then offensively, you know, he did the right thing. He was responsible most times. Didn't get an assist in 17 minutes, but a lot of that, I think, is just the Raptors weren't really hitting at all across the board. And, yeah, I thought he actually came in and showed you more offensive feel and finesse and execution than, you know, Jamias, for example. Now, defensively, I think that, yeah, I mean, if he competes at this level all out, you know, him diving out of bounds, for example, on a play that ultimately the Raptors ended up not securing possession, but still the fact that he's diving out of bounds, like, it's exactly what you want to see from a 10-day guy. You know what I mean? So for him, that's a good opportunity. I think for Javon Freeman-Liberty, who shouldn't probably feel too bad about the fact that there's other guards being, you know, brought into the system. I think the Raptors right now clearly have such a shortage of bodies on the roster. They just need to find other, you know, they got to play a backup point guard. And I think with Javon, even though I think he's a point guard for the starting group, he doesn't actually handle the ball that much. He's largely, you know, getting the ball to Kelly Olynyk, and Kelly's actually initiating most of the offense. He had 9 assists for the starting lineup. But I thought Javon did a great job of cutting, you know, back-to-back plays. He was actually able to cut to the basket for layups, you know, once in a while take it strong to the cup. I mean, you didn't really see too much of, you know, the three or, you know, even, I guess, a mid-range, although I'm not expecting him to come in and knock down mid-ranges like that. But still, I mean, you know, there's clearly a guy who can, you know, knife his way to the basket and create a little bit of scoring. I think defensively, you also saw him compete as well, although I just don't think that it was with the same intensity as a guy like Simmons or even before that Ramsey. You know, those are the newer guys that you're taking a look at. I mean, in terms of the other ones, I think with Mahamadou Gay, it's been difficult watching sort of him sort of translate his game from G League to the NBA. I wouldn't say he was dominating with the G League either, but, you know, when you see him in the NBA, I think it's been difficult because they're playing him at center, which ultimately his offensive skill set, you know, doesn't probably extend beyond him playing center. But at the same time, he's got to, like, do things, especially in this system where so much of the offense is get the ball into the post and have somebody playing dribble handoff or throwing high-low passes or, you know, playing pick and roll or pick and pop. I just don't think he's holding his position quite well. We know that you know, he's just more slender in general for a big, and so, you know, I think he's getting pushed out of position. I don't think that he's finishing strongly either, kind of because of that. And then, of course, you're not really seeing the jump shooting being much of a factor. I think ideally what you would like to see is that all-out energy. Chris Boucher would be like a similar-ish template, although I think it's a discredit to Chris. I think, you know, Mahamadou is a long way away from Chris. I think, you know, Chris will come in a game and get you a ton of rebounds or you know, block a three, and just, like, you'll notice him in a way that, you know, he only had for Mahamadou only one offensive rebound in 12 minutes, no assists, no steals, no blocks, no defensive rebounds, no free throws, minus eight in the 12 minutes. I just don't think it's been working really well. In fact, I think that's why, you know, you saw even a guy like Garrett Temple come in and actually play some backup center. Once again, Garrett was a plus in his minutes. Not to say that the Raptors right now are necessarily so invested in wins and losses. I think clearly they've they might say publicly, like Darko did before the game, that everything he does is about winning. But also at the same time, it's like, you know, at the same time, we also see the situation, and it's kind of a no-win scenario with the group. Having said that, though, I think Garrett has actually come in and played and contributed in a way that, you know, feels refreshing in the sense that, like, he plays, you don't have to worry about him too much. It's competent basketball. Like, he's not flying around. He's not, you know, hyper-athletic. He's not jumping out the gym, but he's doing the right things. I mean, you know, hitting a layup off a cut, rebounding in traffic, you know, giving some contests. He actually blocked Dennis Schroeder on a drive, which I think for those two are their good friends. Like, I'm pretty sure that had to feel pretty good just, you know, as a play among friends too. But I think Garrett's come in and done a good job, and I think out of anybody else, I actually kind of continue to prefer to see him almost run that point run that point center role for the second unit. Obviously, he's not a point, nor is he a center, although he did play some point guard, you know, coming up early, but, you know, ultimately he's not that. You know, he's actually done a good job distributing. He had 4 assists tonight, and in general, the play looks organized with him. I think also at a certain point, like, you know, you can kind of run the same actions over and over again, and you got to credit the fact that Brooklyn eventually figured out, okay, you know what, they're going to get the ball in the post. They got 2 guys splitting off each other. You know, they did a good job of denying for the most part. You know, the Raptors might have got some backdoor cuts and things like that to start the game, but as the game went on, the Nets did a much better job of switching, denying. They got bigger players across the board too, so it's not just so easy to throw the ball over the top. Even if you do get inside position and you're cutting and you know, there maybe isn't that strong a ball pressure on the ball at the top, then the pass might be able to be made. You also just have a lot bigger players. Like, again, like, you know, Dorian Finney-Smith is a guy with a long 7-foot wingspan and, like, a very active guard. Mikal Bridges, who was guarding the point of attack, you know, actually that was almost a bit wasted in the sense because the Raptors weren't really attacking much from the point. So, you know, like Javon, for example, just got pressed by Bridges, bring the ball up, but afterwards he give the ball up and then just start cutting. Ultimately, still, though, it's just not easy to cut and finish around the Nets. And the Raptors, I don't think, certainly did a good job with that. They also didn't get to the foul line very much, only 12 attempts in this game. And, of course, if you're going to balance out a night like that, you're going to need to hit the three at a decent level. And it's not like the Raptors, you know, ever come in a game and just start chucking threes. Nobody really did that. But ultimately, you just didn't get enough. I mean, 5 threes in the modern NBA, you're guaranteed basically to lose. Like, mathematically, it's not even possible. And of course, you would have liked to seen, for example, Gary Trent be a little bit hotter from three. He got some, you know, obviously he's the most aggressive out of everyone on offense, but he's also like the most offensively capable player right now. I mean, it's like between him and Kelly for who's like, you know, your best scorer, which is already kind of like, wow, that's a little shocking, but that is the reality of the situation. So Gary taking 17 shots, I don't really mind. 2 of 7 from three, though, for Gary. You know, Grady, who obviously you want to see him knock down some threes, 0 of 5. And Grady, I thought, was actually a surprise to see plus 6 in the box score for him because, you know, a lot of the late-game offense for Brooklyn was just Dennis going at Grady. But I'll talk about that in a second. Ultimately, Grady 0 of 5 from 3. And then Jordan Wara, 0 of 3 from 3. And I thought Wara came in and took some really bad shots tonight. Didn't really look comfortable, didn't really settle in. And even though I think, you know, Darko had this discussion about it before the game, he said, we know you can score, but can you defend? And he said he's got them on a special program to teach him defense. I mean, first off, he is 25, and he's been in the league a couple years with teams that, you know, quite frankly, have played really good defense, like, for example, Milwaukee. But also at the same time, like, there obviously needs to be lots of improvement there. I mean, when the coach says something like that, and then you watch the game and you see, like, Trendon Watford driving straight past him for a layup, no resistance at the point of attack, like, that's just come on, man. Like, you know, that says there's a long way to go. Regardless, there just wasn't enough offensive production from those. Of course, you would like to see Kelly sort of get more of a rhythm offensively from three. You know, he continues to throw a couple of passes away. Of course, that's just part of it. Like, I almost look at Kelly's assists versus his turnovers kind of like field goal attempts versus, like, or field goals made versus, like, field goal attempts, you know what I mean? Like, that's kind of how it feels because, largely speaking, he's passing to somebody who's cutting to the rim for a layup. And that's going to get you enough offense. But again, like, most teams will eventually be able to cycle that out and figure that out. So if in that sense, this game almost felt a little bit like an extended practice. They were trying to really, really work on one play, and the defense was really locked in. And again, the Raptors' offense just kind of went cold. If you're looking for guys who can create individually, I mean, very few instances of that. First off, the Raptors, offensively, their whole system is like they don't want to play ISO, all that kind of stuff. But still, like, you know, Kelly, you know, and his little awkward burrowing drives where he has the ball, you know, and he's pausing and stopping, you know, kind of like a bad driver on the Gardner, just kind of shift lanes and stuff like that. Like, that's Kelly. And he's, generally speaking, still finds his way to little scoop shots and floaters and layups and things like that, stretch, you know, all that kind of stuff, maybe drawing a foul. That or Gary, you know, maybe off a mid-range, maybe off a little bit off an up and under fake, stuff like that. That's kind of about it, though. Like, you know, the rest of the counters weren't really strong in terms of guys who can really create their own offense. In that sense, I actually didn't mind Kobe Simmons. Not to say that a 10-day is going to come in and just, you know, entirely take that role over, but I thought there was some, like, playmaking ability from the point guard position, which, you know, is obviously a very, very important thing. I don't think we saw enough of that from a guy like Jamias. Even Javon, I think, created a little bit, but mostly was getting downhill, which I don't necessarily mind, but at the same time, it's not like he's a dominant threat getting downhill. So if his go-to move is to get a contested layup, then, you know, okay, efficiency-wise, you can see some issues there. Ultimately, again, the talent is what it is right now, and, you know, it's just not enough to compete, even with, you know, Brooklyn. Although I thought, you know, I didn't really mind this one because, well, I don't think anyone really should mind this one because of the fact that the Raptors were able to keep it close and keep it competitive. And ultimately just didn't have enough to close over the top. But still, you could see the limitations there. And then I think on the other end, it was really interesting to see how the Nets approached their offense. I thought Mikal Bridges, once again, looked really out of sync and wasn't really creating all that much. I mean, the Raptors did send double teams and all that kind of stuff, but nothing like too crazy in terms of like what kind of coverage a star might expect. In any case, he just didn't quite look like that star. And, you know, ultimately, he made a couple extra passes, maybe that kind of, I don't even know, to be honest. It just wasn't that effective. 7 turnovers as well. A lot of the offense came down to Dennis Schroeder. And, you know, shouts to Dennis. 37 minutes, he goes for 7 of 15 shooting. Couldn't knock down from 3, but was really effective otherwise. And, you know, I think in terms of Grady, Dennis being his vet to start the year, one of his vets, really knew the scouting report to be able to go at Grady. The Nets did a good job of bringing Grady into screening actions, and the Raptors obviously were switching a lot to neutralize some of those pick and rolls. That forced, well, a couple of things. Number one, it forced, you know, the Raptors to often have to guard mismatches in the post and maybe even double team and all that kind of stuff. But also it forced some bad matchups with like a guy like Grady, you know, getting switched on to Dennis quite a bit. You know, when the Raptors also blitzed and doubled, all that kind of stuff, that also wasn't great. The Nets did do just enough in terms of just hitting a couple corner threes in some crucial moments to sort of break the Raptors out of that coverage of doubling. But ultimately, yeah, Dennis was really able to go at Grady, and he scored on him a variety of times. He also really hurt him defensively as well, which I thought that, you know, maybe or you know, in terms of just Grady trying to get a shot off and you know, Dennis doing a great job closing out and then also cutting him off, going to the basket. And it just made for, in general, a difficult night for him. And meanwhile, Dennis, I thought, just like came in and played his role really, really well. Otherwise, you know, I think, you know, Trendon Watford, I'm a little surprised to see him score at this kind of rate, but he is a physical wing. He's big and he's aggressive. And I thought he did a good job of just like blasting through a couple of gaps. Again, the Raptors second unit, you know, it can be quite disorganized. The whole Raptors team can be quite disorganized in general, but still, I feel like, they just weren't able to sort of like focus and lock in. Ultimately, though, it's not really the defense, you know. Like, as much as I can sort of point to a couple things, like offensively, that's where the Raptors clearly were lacking, because, you know, you only score 88 points in the modern NBA. Like, you're going to be in tough against anybody. And that's where the Raptors are right now on an 11-game losing streak. Again, it's not really about the losing, but it's about the fact that, you know, is there enough to sort of compete? Is there enough to execute? Is there enough to evaluate? And, you know, I mean, on that front, I guess it's kind of a personal preference on everybody. In terms of the younger guys, you see Ochai once again. Ochai, I think, is establishing at least a bit of a baseline for himself. I know he was a minus 10 tonight in 31 minutes, but thought he played pretty good defensively. He, for the second straight game, had a really, really nice athletic chase down block. And then he forced the second miss afterwards as well in that same possession after the Nets had recovered it. So I think Ochai has just consistently shown you that he can, you know, give you good effort defensively. He can guard. The only thing is, like, he is a little bit small, so there are obviously going to be some mismatches where, you know, he's going to try to be in a way, but ultimately there's just going to be not enough size. But, like, I don't know. What can you do? Like, grow? Like, that's obviously not going to be realistic in this sense. So, you know, you want to see him contribute a bit more offensively, and he's doing a good job. He seems like he knows how to cut. He is, you know, finding these opportunities also, again, to use his athleticism. So, like, things like tip-ins and things like that. I mean, he's been able to find ways to, you know, even just create a little bit more offense. He got a couple of tip-ins tonight as well. I do have some concerns as to, like, okay, is that sustainable against a team that's more locked in or a team that's bigger, just in general? But hey, you got to start somewhere. And I think Ochai has been really steady and solid for the last few games. So that's a really good sign. And then finally, I think it's just Bruce Brown, who, I don't know. I mean, it's not like it's so bad. Like, when you look at the box score, 10 points, 4-7, hit a three that actually put the Raptors up in the third quarter, which, you know, I got to say, like, for the fans and the crowd, like, they actually did a really good job of, you know, bringing a lot of energy to this game, which obviously was quite difficult. You know, there wasn't that much to cheer for, but when there were moments to cheer, there's a lot of organic cheers, chants of let's go Raptors, chants of defense. And I don't know if that directly has something to do with the fact that the cheapest ticket I saw for tonight's game was like $24, which was actually like $19 for the seat and like $5 for like fees. But still, like, it did have a little bit more energy and things like that. But I just feel like with Bruce, like, there's just a couple of like standout mistakes. Like, when he misses the free throw, if, you know, in that stretch there, it felt like it was a monumental one. When he turns the ball over on a travel, when the Raptors have momentum on the fast break, it felt like a real momentum one. You know what I mean? Like, he just has like a penchant for making like a loud mistake. And again, overall, he was actually fine. He was pretty good. Well, relatively pretty good. But yeah, I mean, it just wasn't great. The fact that he's been assigned to the second unit, that's been a little interesting. Maybe next game I'll ask Darko as to why he put Bruce on the second unit. I'm sure he has his reasons. Maybe just to even have like a, I don't know. I wouldn't even say he's a more experienced guy or more like tenured guy, because he only joined the team at the trade deadline. But still, I guess just based on his actual playing experience, it's a little bit more than the rest of the group. But that's all the players that you kind of have on the roster right now. And, you know, the good news is you did see Emmanuel Quickley and RJ Barrett sitting on the Raptors bench. They were obviously around today. That's obviously a good sign. They're going to continue to take their time. And, you know, I don't think that anybody from the media or anybody from the organization, or even I don't even think I've seen it from fans, quite frankly. Nobody's really pressuring them to sort of come back. Obviously, you know, they're going to take their time. But, like, yeah, ultimately, you know, if they're able to return, that's going to bring up the level of the entire team by so, so much. But still, in any case, it's just good to see them around and with the team in any sort of capacity. So, tough night, though. Again, this game was a little secondary to the fact that, again, the Raptors potentially had a player who was sabotaging his own performance to influence betting lines. If it's true, it's just an absolute slap in the face to the sport of basketball, to the NBA, to the Raptors in particular. So again, this is if it's true. So, you know, we do have to wait. And I know there's a bigger conversation to be had about, you know, is there a way to sort of assure, first and foremost, that, you know, there's an integrity of the game. And, you know, if there's also a much bigger discussion to be had about the morality of, you know, pushing sports gambling to this degree, and whether or not there can be other tweaks and limitations. But, like, you can kind of blame the system on this situation, and I'm sure it's something that's a background effect. But I mean, ultimately, if the allegations are true, like, we saw a player actually tank his own performance and his own team's performance, quite frankly, by taking himself out, to, like, and that's on him. Like, I'm not saying this is an isolated thing, but yeah, for me, I'm just very disappointed, because I think we did actually see good performance from Jonte in his limited minutes, and it was going to be a situation where if he was able to make the league and start his career, and again, he's only on a two-way. Like, it's not even like, you know, he's off to this great start or anything. For a player in that situation to undergo what is, like, you know, been reported, again, I want to be careful of the languaging, it's been reported, but it's not confirmed, and there will be an investigation, and he won't be with the team until that's done. But, yeah, it's... I don't know. This has been a tough season. So, before I get to three stars, a message from our sponsor. Are you ready to get fired up for the next game? Nothing helps more than a bowl of Campbell's new chunky spicy chicken noodle soup. Let me tell you, it's got tons of seasoned chicken, veggies, and noodles all in a tasty spicy broth. So it'll fill you up and get you fired up. So take your day to the next level. See if you can handle the heat with the new chunky spicy chicken noodle soup. Okay, your three stars from this performance. I'm going to give the first star to... probably Javon. Yeah, I thought Javon played well. 15 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal. 7 of 12. I'm happy for him. Again, he's looking to find his way in the league. And, you know, he's trying to look to find ways to contribute. And I thought, yeah, he got to the rim quite a bit tonight, which, again, it's on a night where the Nets actually guarded the rim pretty well, too. So, yeah, I just thought Javon, you know, showed at least sort of his knack for scoring. Yeah, I mean... we're not seeing too much playmaking from him, but ultimately that's not the system. Like, you should see how few pick and rolls, for example, like normal spread pick and rolls the Raptors run. It's quite rare, especially with this group. Your second star, I'm going to give that to, I'll probably give it to Kobe Simmons, honestly. 7 points, 2 rebounds, 2 steals. I just thought he came in and played really good, really solid. I was pretty happy with him. Again, he's a guy who is coming in off a... just literally off the 905, and he's very new to the whole situation. You saw Garrett talking to him quite a bit to sort of get him up to speed, up to rhythm. You saw the coaches, obviously, I'm sure, you know, his head spinning as well in a way. It's not his first 10-day either, but still, like, it's new and it's exciting. And I thought he actually played very calm underneath all of that. So good for Kobe. And then your third star, I guess I'll give it to Ochai. 11 points, 5 rebounds, 3 offensive. You know, not a lot to pick from in this game, but, you know, I thought Ochai, you know, played his role well. So, your Gerald Henderson Award winner, that's got to go to Dennis Schroeder, who finished with 19 points, 5 rebounds, 7 assists. Again, he really targeted Grady, and that was, I think, a big part of Brooklyn's late-game offense, was just that specific matchup. So, yeah, tough night at Scotiabank Arena. There's probably going to be more to come, and hopefully we will get more details and get to the bottom of what happened here, but... in any case, thanks everyone for listening. Please continue to rate, review, subscribe to The Raptor Show. Again, programming note, we have shifted the daily show from 2 to 4 p.m. to 11 to 12 a.m. So look out for the new time slot. We will still be going live, everything like that. But, yeah, I mean, just, you know, catch the show then. You obviously would understand why especially given the fact that they're on an 11-game losing streak, that we've reduced the program from 2 to 1 hour. And, yeah, I hope to catch you then. So thanks, everyone, for listening. You've been listening to the Raptors Reaction Podcast, brought to you by Campbell's new Chunky Spicy Soup. Have a good night.